morning, Trinity. I'm Catherine Fluck Price. I am one of the pastors here of Trinity, and it is great to be with you in worship this morning. If you are here for the first time, we're especially glad to welcome you. I want to invite all of you to take just a moment and turn your bulletin to the connection card and take that and tear it out of your bulletin. And if you are here with us on a regular basis, if you will give us at least your name and your email, that helps us to stay connected with you. It's really important to us. And if you are here for the very first time, we invite you to take that and fill it out and give us as much information as you are comfortable providing. We sure do appreciate that as well. I hear around here that the beginning of October means the beginning of pumpkins. And then we have a lot of pumpkins around here. It's also my understanding that the pumpkins were going to be delivered tonight at 5:30. But instead they've been delayed until tomorrow night at 5:30. Now you may know that we have a lot of pumpkins to unload off of a semi-tractor trailer. And so it's a lot of hard work, but also great fun for all ages. And we invite you to mark on your calendar and come out tomorrow afternoon at 5:30 to help us unload those pumpkins. And there's a table outside. If you will sign up and let us know you're coming, then we can be sure that we have enough people to unload a whole semi full of pumpkins, big and small, so everybody can participate. The beginning of October also marks a time for the worldwide church. The first Sunday in October is when we celebrate World Communion Sunday. So as your clergy today, we thought we would dress up a little bit for that. And we're also really grateful to have two other clergy participating with us this morning at this service, Reverend David Leonard and Reverend Cliff Patrick, and they'll be sharing in the celebration of communion with us as well. All over the world, the global community of Christians are celebrating communion today. Whether it's in a majestic cathedral or a corner storefront, whether it's on a hillside or in an inner city, whether it's in a mud hut or in a white wooden country chapel, Christians all over the world remember and celebrate our unity in Christ as we celebrate World Communion Sunday. We remember that Christ is the head of the church and that He prepares this feast for us. And it's a table at which everyone is welcome. And so this morning I say to you, church, welcome home. Let me invite you to stand up and say hello to someone near you. Reach across the aisle. Introduce yourself, please, if you don't know someone.
Please remain standing and let us worship God together with our opening song.
In our hearts again, increase in us. with those around the world to cry out, holy, and to build your kingdom here. Pour out your Spirit upon us as we worship you this morning, that we may be ever mindful that we are one in the Spirit and one in truth through Christ our Lord. Amen. This morning, as we affirm our faith, we are going to give you an opportunity to experience the affirmation in song. And so we invite you to sing along as we sing our faith and we sing our Lord's Prayer. Let us sing.
invite you to position yourself in a posture of prayer. If you feel so inclined, you might take your hands like this and just open them on your lap. And as we enter into this moment of silence into the prayer, that way you're ready to receive whatever it is that God might have for you in the silence. And as we observe this silence together and invite you to remember these folks whose names you see on the screen, members of our community of faith who are in need of God's healing grace and just our prayers. So let us unite our hearts now and go to God in prayer. Gracious Lord, as we gather here this morning to sing your praise, to sing our prayers, to hear your word read and proclaimed, to meet at your table and celebrate a holy meal together, we pray, O God, that you will pour your grace into us all and help us to link our arms with brothers and sisters all over the world. On this World Communion Sunday, make us keenly aware of your calling on our lives to be one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Today and every day, may we see your love and your light. May we see your glory and your face in every neighbor. Help us to look past our differences and divisions, our preferences and partialities, so we no longer see the other in those we meet, but instead we see our oneness. Use us, Lord Jesus, to bring comfort to those who are grieving, lonely, heartbroken, ill, or broken in spirit. We pray that you strengthen those whose lives feel shattered, whose lives don't make sense, who are in crisis or are experiencing loss. Use us to give food to the hungry, to give drink to the thirsty, to give clothes to those who need clothes, shelter to those who are homeless, hope to the hopeless, love to the unloved. Shine your light into those whose world is covered in darkness, and on this World Communion Sunday, we pray in particular for our fellow Christians who live in fear for their lives, simply for being followers of Jesus. So we pray that you make us instruments of your peace. And we thank you that you have set a table for everyone. And for those who don't yet know you, or know that they too are invited to your table, may their lives be awakened to your love, your grace. We pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. now into a time of offering where we are given the privilege of giving back to God from what He gave to us. And we also give, we give to this church, for the ministries of this church, to do our part to build God's kingdom here in Gainesville and around the world through our tithes and our offerings. But every Sunday we are also given a special opportunity to give a little bit more to a special organization. And this morning that organization is Extraordinary Joy. It's a new ministry which they're raising funds to for research into a rare X chromosome disorder. Table outside, I invite you to stop by and hear the story we need today. But you can give at the mission box, but let us give back now to God. Ushers, would you please come? And as they come, let me pray for us. God, indeed, we give you thanks for the many ways that you bless and enrich our lives. And as we give back to you now with great joy from what you have given us, God, we pray that you multiply our tithes, our offerings, so that this church can continue to be a beacon of light, a city on a hill, as we seek to build your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven.
Good morning. My name is Grace Ingle, and today Summit will be offering the song, Let Us Love the Ministry. The song addresses the negativity and disappointment in the world, stating that we live a life that we hate without meaning, and acknowledging the loss of hope. However, the song is also hopeful and optimistic, saying that there's a chance that we can be redeemed and live a life of love and acceptance. The book Ephesians shares a similar message of hope and kindness for others. Both the book and the song say to love others and embrace the good around you, no matter how bleak things may seem. Accept that there are flaws with our world, but instead of concentrating on the evil, focus on the positivity and thank God for every opportunity we are given to spread happiness. Gabrielle Rousseau and Sunlight will be giving their voices for today's offertory song.
Thank you.
good day when I get to hear a little Need to Breathe in the morning. I am so glad as I look out today to see our children among us. Our second through fifth graders are worshiping with us so that they can celebrate World Communion in here at the 9:40 service. Our confirmation class is just back from a retreat this weekend at Warren Willis. So it's a wonderful, exciting day. And that the presence of those among us just is a great reminder of our oneness as the church, which is our theme for today. It's the theme of the scripture passage that we turn to on this World Communion Sunday. So as I get ready to read this passage, which comes from Ephesians, especially for our second graders and others who may have your Bibles with us and want a little help getting to this passage so you can read along with me, Ephesians is in the New Testament, so you go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Gospels, and then it's Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then there are these four little letters that aren't very long. And I learned a trick long ago from a wise Sunday school teacher who gave me a way to remember the order, and it's GEPC, Georgia Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So we're going to Ephesians today, so it's right after Galatians. All right, and I'm going to read from chapter 4, and I'll be reading the first six verses of that chapter. Therefore, as a prisoner for the Lord, I encourage you to live as people worthy of the call you received from God. Conduct yourselves with all humility, gentleness, and patience. Accept each other with love, and make an effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit with the peace that ties you together. You are one body and one Spirit, just as God also called you in one hope. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. This is the word of God for the people of God. God's people say, thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this servant. They might carry a word from you into our hearts and lives. Amen. When we go to the pages of the Gospels and look at the story of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, each of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, give us an intimate picture of the last time that Jesus spends with his disciples, that night before he knows he will go to the cross. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell us about the meal. That's where we get the words of institution that we use every time we come and celebrate. John gives us a different image. He tells us about the words that Jesus chooses to share with the disciples in great detail on that night. In fact, it's the longest uninterrupted section in the Bible of Jesus' words to anyone. And so he is offering words of support and comfort and encouragement, and then also words of challenge. And after speaking directly to them for a lengthy section that lasts for three chapters, then we get to the 17th chapter of John, and Jesus now directs his words toward God in a prayer that the disciples are there to listen to and to hear. And as he prays, it is clear that something concerns him deeply, and he wants to make sure that they are aware as he prepares to lead them. They have been connected by him up to this point, but he is about to be gone. And so in verse 11, we hear him say this, I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, the disciples, even as I am coming to you. Holy Father, watch over them in your name, the name you gave me, that they will be one just as we are. Now, he continues to pray, and a few verses later, we hear Jesus return back to this idea of oneness. I pray they will be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. I am in them and you are in me, so that they will be made perfectly one. Then the world will know that you sent me and that you have loved them just as you love me. Did you catch that? Jesus says, then the world will know. Jesus, right here, right before he leaves them, is making clear that unity must be a core component, a core idea of life after he is gone as it exists among those disciples. Not only for their own sake, not only so that they will enjoy life together more harmoniously, but so that the world will know. Their unity becomes an essential part of their witness to the world. So this becomes a vital sign of the early witness of the church. When we get to the book of Acts and we hear about the early days of those followers sharing life together, right after the day of Pentecost, the next thing we hear is about that sense of unity that exists among them. The believers devoted themselves, this is Acts chapter 2, the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the community, to their shared meals, and to their prayers. God performed many wonders and signs through the apostles, and all the believers were united and shared everything. Then just a few verses later, in verse 47, we get to hear about the fruit that is the result of that witness, of sharing that oneness. Verse 47 tells us that because of that witness, the Lord added daily to the community those who were being saved. Oneness, unity, was intended to be one of the defining characteristics of Christian life from the very beginning. But it didn't take long for human beings to start going off the tracks. By the time we get to early New Testament communities that we know about through some of the letters that make up the New Testament, we become quite aware that there are disagreements and dissensions, and there are fractions and brokenness. Communities of Christian faith begin to lose their distinctiveness as the people give up on fully living into that oneness, but choose to try to live some or part of their lives outside and part within the context of that unity. And so time and time again throughout the letters of Paul and his followers in the New Testament, we hear reminders to those communities, bringing them back to that importance of unity. In Galatians, we hear that very familiar passage that there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for in Christ Jesus all one. When Paul writes to the Corinthians, knowing that they are a divided community of faith, knowing that they are struggling and there are disagreements about who is in and who is out and what attitude or what demeanor they should bring to the table when they come, Paul begins that letter by saying, now I encourage you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, agree with each other. And don't be divided into rival groups. Instead, be restored with the same mind and the same purpose. In the letter to the Romans, a church that Paul has not yet met yet, but to whom he wants to offer encouragement as he prepares to come, as he is wrapping up his letter, he draws on this theme of unity. May the God of endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude toward each other, similar to Christ Jesus' attitude. That way you can glorify God together with one voice. And then in Philippians, right before he recites one of the earliest Christian hymns about Jesus and his own submission to God's will, he challenges the people on this theme again. Most important, live together in a manner worthy of Christ's gospel. Stand firm, united in one spirit and mind as you struggle together to remain faithful to the gospel. Complete my joy by thinking the same way, having the same love, being united, and agreeing with each other. And then we come to today's passage from the letter to the Ephesians. Now, the context for this passage is the city of Ephesus. And there in that great early city, there is a fledgling Christian community that has formed. And it is living in the shadow of the Temple of Artemis, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And the Temple of Artemis was a sign of a religion of prosperity and of status. It had become this seductive power, not only to the citizens of Ephesus, but to citizens across the Greco-Roman world. And in the shadow of that strong presence, the early Christian followers in Ephesus were being challenged to live differently. And one of the things that they are reminded of is the importance of their witness of unity. You are one, the writer says. In fact, in the few verses that we read this morning, we hear that word repeated seven times. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. Like a drum, Paul keeps on beating the sound of unity, of oneness. Today is World Communion Sunday, and I am so glad that the calendar keeps bringing us back to this day year after year after year. The church calendar will not let us get away from this day where we have the opportunity to both celebrate signs of the unity of the church that we have seen and also confess those signs both out there but also in here where we have failed to exhibit the unity to which Christ calls us. The truth too often is that the church on this day has more confessing to do than it does celebrating for the ways in which we are fractured and broken. And yet, World Communion Sunday keeps calling us back. That same drum keeps on beating. It can be summed up in this way, in terms of the importance for us of this idea of unity. One theologian says, mature Christians are always more concerned about unity than about personal triumph. The we is always more important than the me. You are one body, we hear over and over again in Scripture. Not you should be one body, or you could be one body, or you might be one body, or maybe one day you will be one body. You are one body. And if we are to live fully into that reality, we will have to surrender personal privilege at the foot of the cross. Next week, we will begin a new series of messages entitled Losing Ourselves on Purpose. And for several weeks, we will be looking at some of the characteristics, some of the upside-down values of the kingdom that are at odds with some of the ways the world often encourages us to live, so that we might surrender ourselves surrender the me to the we as the body of Christ. I'm reminded of the idea of a musical band and the musicians who make up the band. Each musician has a gift, talent, skills that they bring and contribute so that the band together can make beautiful music. But they must surrender the me for the sake of the we if they are to make their best music. And they also must all surrender whatever their own individual ideas might be about tempo to whatever the drummer sets, right? Have you ever noticed what happens when other musicians don't pay attention to the drummer? It's a train wreck. The drummer, even if the others, once they've started, don't really agree with the tempo, they better stick with it or it's going to be a train wreck. Each musician surrendering to that beat. Church, we have a drummer. And we are all musicians within the body of Christ, called to surrender ourselves to the tempo that that drummer sets. And that drummer is the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ that lives in each one of us. The Spirit of Christ that lives among us as church. And that Spirit keeps on beating. One. 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 We must bind ourselves to the Spirit's tempo. Now the writer in Ephesians today gives us some good advice on ways in which we can bind ourselves to the Spirit, some characteristics: humility, gentleness, patience, love. One. 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 So let me offer a few thoughts about some practical applications for us on this. This week in the Thursday e-message, had a chance to read it, I finished it by suggesting a couple of questions that you might ask yourselves to help you think about your role in the unity of the church. Here's the first one. That's not it. Are there any ways in which my words and actions are hurting the unity of Christ's body? Second question is this: how can I be a better witness for the unity of Christ's body, the church? Now, you might think of those two questions as two sides of the same coin. The first one really is asking us to think about, what do I need to stop in order to be a better witness for the unity of the body of Christ? And then the second one is really about, what do I need to start in order to be a better witness for the unity of Christ? Spending some time reflecting on those two questions in the days ahead, I believe that you might hear something that maybe you won't want to hear. It might sting a little bit at first, but I promise you it will make a difference. I promise you that if you pay attention, you will experience a difference, not only in your own life, but perhaps in your relationships with others around you. And then the last practical thing I would suggest is for you to pay attention to the next 37 days. For you to pay attention to how you speak and how you act over the next 37 days as this country moves toward a day of election. There are terrible divisions in our country. There are people speaking poorly, hurtfully about one another over differences of ideas and opinions and ideologies and politics. And sadly, some of the loudest voices belong to people who call themselves followers of Christ. That cannot be our way, friends. Humility, gentleness, patience, love, those are the ways of the follower of Christ. So over the next 37 days, I invite you to pay attention to offering a different kind of witness in the midst of a tumultuous season. I invite you to speak and to act in such a way that others would become curious and want to know why you are remaining so steady, so humble, so gentle, so patient, so kind, when so many others around you are not. There's an evangelist, Michael Frost, who suggests that one of the most important things for Christians to do is to live lives that are worth questioning. You're going to hear me talk about that, repeat that over the days and weeks and months ahead. Over the next 37 days, I invite you to begin living a life that is worth questioning by speaking and acting in such a way that others around you would want to know, I wonder what it is that makes them different. I wonder why they're able to take such a different approach. Because when we look across the pages of Scripture, when we look at our passage for this morning, the message is perfectly clear. One body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The Spirit just keeps on beating that drum. Are you in time with the music? Holy God, you are good and gracious. You are kind and merciful. And you invite us as members of the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, to bind ourselves to him so that we too might exhibit those same traits. Make our witness loud even when we speak softly. Make your presence known to our deeds and to our words in such a way that people will see our oneness with each other and that the world will want to be a part of that.
Words of invitation to the table. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace and unity with God and with one another. This morning, as we share in communion in the Great Thanksgiving, you'll find the words and the responses found on the screen. The Lord be with you.
Lift up your heart. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere. Give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You have made from one every nation and people to live on all the face of the earth. And so with your people on earth and the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. He commissioned us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth and to make disciples of all nations. And today his family in all the world is joining at this holy table. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to the disciples and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts of Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us that are here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with your church throughout the world and strengthen it in every nation and among every people to witness faithfully in your name. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and the feast of his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Let me invite those who are serving to join us again today. United Methodist Church, the table is always an open table. It's Christ's table, and we are all welcome at the feast. So we invite you to come forward, come out of your row to your left, and return to your row by your right. You'll come forward and receive a piece of bread, take that and dip it into the cup in the manner of intention. And then after communion, you're welcome to spend as much time as you like at the kneeling benches in prayer, or return to your seat. As you come, there's also gluten-free available at the Peace Center station, and please feel free to ask, and we would be happy to serve you that as well. Everything is ready. Won't you please come?
Go now in the joy of knowing that you have been included. Included at this table. Included as His table. Included in our common life. Included in the life of God. In the life of the triune God. In the life shared by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Let's sing. Sing, let's sing. For joy. For joy, for joy.
Go in the joy of knowing that you have been included in the inner life of the God who is love. Go find joy in telling others that they too are included.
May God be gracious to us. Make His face shine down. May God be gracious to us. Make His ways known. Let's sing.
Go find joy in bringing all God's people to His table. Go find joy in telling others that they too are included. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. You are included.
God be gracious to us. Make His face shine down.
You stand. And go now out into the world to live as members of the body of Christ in such a way that others will see and experience in you the good news that Christ has.